Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
It is so cool how, and I know you've been talking about this, and at the same time, you know, God, his ways are beyond our ways. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at all the things that are happening, crazy things, but really the fulfillment of prophecies taking place rapidly.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see some really bad decisions being made by the courts and bad decisions being made by leaders and all this. And you think, oh my goodness. But at the same time, you know, and I know that we've been praying, and I'm just thankful for those that pray within the vine and they've been faithful to pray for years now. And I know it's been like praying against a brass heaven. It just seems like, you know, you're praying, mm-hmm. are our prayers being heard? God, are you tired of this prayer? I think I'm tired of this prayer. And you just pray. But I know that, you know, one of the prayers, of course, was what Lou Engle birthed at the call in D.C., Lord, end abortion, send revival, when the young guys were there and with tape over their mouth because, mm-hmm. you know.
Said life.
Mm-hmm. And they were speaking for the ones that couldn't speak. And then, of course, with Mike Bickle and Lou coming together, that merged into IHOP, and then IHOP began to carry that mm-hmm. prayer. And then, you know, we benefited off of growing in wisdom from Mike Bickle's prayers. And the House of Prayers, we birthed VFN Prayer and Fasting Community. And we got the prayer part. We're working on the fasting part. We're trying to get to where John is in fasting.
Oh, yeah.
He's fading away.
That's right.
See, that's faith. That's faith. Speaking those things.
There you go.
Speak things that are not as they are.
Right. Sounds good to me.
No, Pat is. You know, Pat is.
Jeez.
He's beating it off, though. He don't think he's fasting. Oh, hand me that weight. What are you lifting now? Like 7,000 pounds? Anyway. And so, where was I?
Life.
Oh, and so Lou Engle, and so with International House of Prayer Kansas City, you know, sometimes you just need to see what God has in your heart and what we're able to watch and experience. Because I remember asking, I think the most difficult thing you can do is to get Christians to pray. Mm. You know, longer than give me my car, give me my house, right. Give me his job.
Right.
Things,
yeah, right.
You know, non-selfish prayers. And protect me from myself. but praying for 6 hours, I believe their shifts were in the House of Prayer, and they did it with music, and it really helps. But by seeing that and sowing into that, you know, God was able to begin to birth it in us. And I don't know how many years now, but quite a few years now.
We've been probably 4 or 5 now.
Somebody says, you know, do you want to take on more days? Like, we're still trying to master one day. But we're believing it's going to be 7 days a week, but it's been on Mondays. But one of the prayers has been, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And I like that clarity, that just boom, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we studied in Josiah, and if you haven't yet watched Josiah or listened to Josiah, I believe you have to listen to Josiah and VFN TV on our app. You mm-hmm. know, you can find it in your app store, VFN TV. Mm-hmm. Or go to VFNTV.com and download it. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it. Is, you know, Josiah, you know, we are Josiah in America. We are the ones who issue the edicts. It's different than many other countries because, you know, other countries have a king or some sort of patriarch or somebody that's kind of running it and they're kind of running the show. Oh, well, maybe. mm-hmm. Well, we're venturing in that area, I think. Mm-hmm. But, in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. And some people say, well, you know, I don't pay attention to that. Well, realize this, that God does. And it's sort of like, you know, a king that doesn't know they're king doesn't mean they're not king. It just means they're ignorant.
That's right.
I really believe, I think it was when the great American Revolution, when King George was struggling with what he was going to do, his mother said something to him such as, you know, go be king. Because he was struggling with the whole issue, I believe, and she just said, go be king.
Wow.
You know, and it's time for America, especially Christian America, to be Josiah. And what Josiah did, Josiah was a young man that took over leadership at a young age, and that's what the Word of God says. It says that a rebellious people have young people and women rule over it, what it says. And not that women can't rule or anything like that, but young people don't have the experience of going on. And so he's king. He's King Josiah. He's in the lineage of God's choice to be leader of Israel. And when he sends some people down to the building, uh-huh. to the temple, you know, to clean it out, he just was checked, you know. And so the people who normally run the money in the ministry, uh-huh. he said, you know, I'll just give the guys I'm going to send up there, let's just step out of norm for a little bit. Let's give the money, all the money and all the decisions to these people who are going to restore the temple,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course they go and they begin to, of course he's king.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he says it, they're going to have to do it.
Right.
And by the way, it's the same way in America. The people rise up and begin to say what's right. You know, Washington will reflect what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they went there and they're digging around. And of course, I'm sure the high priest, they start sweating going, they're going to find the instruction manual. You know, the whole time they're thinking, the same way that somebody is hiding a kilo of cocaine that has the police searching and they're getting closer. Mm. They're going to find it. They're going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they had to be thinking that they're going to get closer and closer to the Word of God, the Bible, the word that said exactly how priests are supposed to operate, how mm-hmm. things are supposed to handle, what the temple is supposed to be look like, and all that junk going on in there shouldn't be going on in there. And so while these guys are like, I'm just going there in my own imagination, you know, sweeping out the temple and getting out some Ajax and some Clorox and
Mr. Clean
and getting the graffiti, the, you know, Jezebelic graffiti off the side and washing down the murals and busting up the little Asherah statues and, you know, cleaning stuff up, whatever it is, and running the prostitution out of it, all of a sudden, these guys run back, and mysteriously they find the Word of God.
Yeah,
and they go, "Oh well, looky what we found!
Oh my
goodness!
Can you believe that?"
Yeah, and I wonder what would have happened if they wouldn't have done that.
Mm.
I wonder what would have happened if they actually would have done that. But anyway, they did do it, and of course, they're probably thinking, well, they're going to have us read it, so we'll skip over a few mm-hmm. chapters and verses on marriage. You know, we don't want that out. You know, right. We're going to bring over things on ministry and accountability. Wow, we'll go over that. But all of a sudden, you know, King Josiah has his secretary read it. How could the secretary be reading this? Yeah, but they're not priests. They're not ordained. Listen, we already took all the money from you. We're working on the temple. We'll just let my secretary read this thing.
Mm.
And they begin to read, and they find out Josiah is shocked. He's just shocked that this is how things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And some serious stuff happened at that moment. We're talking about We Are Josiah. I know, John, when you were talking to me during the break, you're hearing things such as, you know, be George Washington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, George Washington's a pretty cool dude and obviously called to be the first president and to lead this nation to where it's at. But for us to keep what God gave through George Washington, we're going to have to be Josiah.
Mm.
And pretty much at that time, the church was Josiah. They stood up for what's right. They understood that it's a government by the people and for the people. And we're talking about Israel here, and we're talking about a king named Josiah who was young. He sent somebody to the temple because it was a mess and he wanted to have it cleaned up. He just had that little, you know, I want to do something good for the church. I mean, didn't know nothing really. Believed all the stuff that people was preaching to him over to and so he goes there, but God's actually leading him obviously to do this. When he gets there, he tells them to hand them all the money out of the normal way of doing things so that the people he sent there can use the money to fix this place up. It was falling apart and all the stuff's going on. And mysteriously, the people who were supposed to be preaching and teaching the word found the word, and it was hidden prior to that. And he had a secretary begin to read it. And as soon as he heard what God said, wouldn't it be, this is what I believe is going to begin to happen. the church, people who profess to be believers, are going to hear the anointed teaching of the word. And they're going to respond like Josiah.
Right.
You know, what happened to the Josiah responses to the gospel? And they spoke the word. They read what was, and they realized we are so out of God's will here. This is so not what God would have for us. This is so, we're in rebellion against God.
Right.
And he first dealt with himself. He took his clothes and he ripped it and he just realized, I've sinned.
Mm.
And he confessed his own sin. He asked God to forgive him and he began to, you know, get in this word and operate in it. But then after he dealt with himself, then he went to the people and that he was over and he began to speak to them the truth and the word and had them taught the very same things. And then he said, and all these things that are around here that are not of God are going to come down. And he was king. He was able to do that because he was king.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden God goes, man, listen, there has never been a king greater that has ever existed than mm-hmm. you. And he even says, even afterwards.
Right.
This is how wow. God sees repentance. He was a mess. I mean, he didn't even know. I mean, you know, you imagine driving around without a map. I mean, he was walking as leader of God's people without a map, without the word of God, with people hiding and lying to him, obviously.
Mm. Right.
You know, living in a whole other country going like, you're king of this country, but he wasn't even in the mindset of where he was. And God goes, whoa, you know, this is great, you know, and because all the kings before him were just, you know, all of them, but there was a procession of a lot of kings who did evil in the eyes of the Lord mm-hmm. that provoked the Lord. And God just slammed on brakes because God was fixing to bring judgment down on his people. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, by the way. And his repentance, a leader's repentance, Josiah's repentance, somebody who has the authority to issue an edict, repentance and choice to exercise that stopped the plans of God that was going to happen to Israel, the apple of God's eyes. But this is what he said. This is what he told Josiah. He said, listen, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's just not going to happen. But because of all this innocent bloodshed that's been spilled all over Israel, it's going to happen, but it'll come happen after you. And you think about it. In all the wars there ever were in the world that from the time existed, there never was more than 1 million people killed in a battle until World War I, who just happened recently. Mm. And then you had 55 million that were killed in like 20 years later or whatever in World War II.
Mm.
And we have 55 million babies bloodshed in our country alone through abortion that we know of. Approximately 55 since 1973.
Wow.
When an edict was issued saying that you can kill your baby in the womb. They call it abortion. And this bloodshed, and that's what really concerns me. That's my concern is, you know, here you have this awesome king who did what was right when he found out what was right. When you know better, you do better.
Mm.
And God rewards that. But God says, I'm not going to forgive the innocent. I'm not going to forgive the bloodshed, the innocent mm-hmm. bloodshed.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God. Mm-hmm. And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, when you just want to know the way of God. You want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. Mm-hmm. The great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right. Right.
Which is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. That is so important that you need to be trained up, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. It begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And VFNU is just so, all we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. Every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, maybe you're called to for a church plant, that there's something inside of you, you've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio, and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around, or a nation around, or America around, is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
So there was a season, a Josiah season, that allowed, and for us, what we would say, it would allow a season for us to win more people to God, to live in hopes that God would even delay it more and more. Maybe he'll delay it till the last trumpet sounds. You don't know. But he is one who looks for ways to exercise mercy. And so here we are now in America with a situation. Somebody said everybody's blaming everything on Washington. And it's like, they're not the king. They are representation of the people who are, if you would, the kings of America, because it's a government by the people, by the Josiahs,
mm-hmm.
and for the Josiahs. And they just represent you. And your school boards, your governors, your Senate, your Congress, your judiciary branches, your presidents, all these guys, they just represent us. But you know what? It's 82% of regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are just like these priests who don't even read the Word of God. They don't read, and they just listen like Josiah was prior to that, mm-hmm. whatever people tell them. But when he actually went in the Word and began to read the Word, or had the Word read by a secretary, he found out, my goodness, we are so off. We deserve to be smacked and dealt with. And it's like, listen, God was holding every king accountable for his decision to or not to do what's right. And when Josiah, despite all the evil kings prior to him, did what was right, God responded to that.
Right.
And if we in America are Josiahs, at least for a while now, if we are for a while now, until God just takes it away from us because we wouldn't do what was right, then we can issue edicts. We can say, listen, back off on taking God out of things. Don't touch the Ten Commandments. Right. If you replace the Ten Commandments, we're going to replace you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you keep on escalating this thing, I don't care what you say about it. We're the kings.
Right.
We're the kings. You know, and this is, I'm talking about every person in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. And before God, we go, listen, and we begin to personally, we got to deal with ourselves first. And that's what Josiah did. He realized you got to get in the Word. You got to hear the truth, you know, spoken to you to where you go, get yourself right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to begin to teach others his ways. Begin to teach others ways. And listen, in America, if enough people begin to do this, the whole nation just turns. And the disaster that was meant for Israel was delayed. It wasn't mm-hmm. going to happen.
Right.
And it's like everybody seems so disempowered. But you know why? You know why? Well, obviously because of sin, but it's a pain being the king.
Mm.
You know?
That's right.
I was thinking about, I mentioned it already, I don't know if it was on break, about, you know, King of Great Britain, when during the American Revolution.
King George.
King George. That his mother just told him to go, you know, go be king. Go be king, because he was struggling with a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, America, go be Josiah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is you first got, oh, I'm going to have to find out how this country runs. I mean, every king does.
Hello.
That's right.
You see, if it was a monarchy and we were ruled by one king, then you could say, yeah, I don't even know how the country runs.
Mm-hmm.
But since you are king, you are Josiah, you have to know how your country runs. You have to educate yourself. And you have this thing called the U.S. Constitution that you really need to read. And you need to read what God says about you as a Christian and how we're supposed to respond before God. But if we'll do that, we could say, wait a minute. I have First Amendment. I have a bill of civil rights. A bill of civil rights for me. The First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. I have the Constitution that says we put these guys in office to be, we just allow a loan to them, a leadership position. It's like, oh, I need to start being like Josiah.
That's right.
And if you go to VFNTV.com or go to your the VFNTV app, you can actually see, it says, We Are Josiah is the title of this particular prophetic teaching, how American Christians can make a difference. But if we don't wake up like Josiah, because it was going to happen, God was going to come down. And understand, of all the things that we've done wrong, the biggest thing we've done wrong is begin to kill innocent people.
Okay.
Begin to, the innocent bloodshed. And sometimes, because you can live in a generation that has killed so many people that you don't realize how that compares. But the Holocaust, they're under Hitler's rule. Over 6 million Jews were horrific. 6 million.
Mm.
That's, and it was horrific what happened. We killed 55 million.
Yeah, right. Right.
55 million children who didn't even get a chance to live a life in a way to demonstrate how they were going to live their life out.
Mm.
And, you know, and listen, if that was you, and God can forgive you. But listen, we got to call it what it is right now, because we got so much blood in the dirt that's crying out like Abel's blood that I don't know how God, I just don't know. And when I see, what I see is happening in America is exciting.
Yeah.
But you also wonder, are you Josiah's season or are you his son's season? You know?
Yeah, right.
And, because we're beginning to see things in the atmosphere you thought would never happen, but obviously God is answering prayer. But we're seeing huge turns, like in Texas, where they are saying after 20 weeks,
right,
don't kill a child. Don't kill the child in the womb. Don't abort it.
Right.
And if you are going to participate in this abortions, you have to be a related doctor to a hospital,
mm-hmm.
which means the hospital now has to put a billboard outside that says we kill babies, which you're probably not going to have many of those things happen.
That's right.
And it won't be one for long.
Mm.
And then they're saying that bill is a template for other states to be able to begin to look at. But you look at Governor Scott, the governor of Texas,
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, he pressed through and people tried to stop him.
That's right.
You have to understand, that's like a Josiah moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Josiah moment where he stood up and he could have just said, "Oh, you know, we tried to vote and stopped it and just let it go and not have that on his name." But he stood up and that was a Josiah moment. And all those men and women, those legislators who were being bombarded by the four or five people who want to continue doing this, that were, some of them were even, as we heard on VFN radio, worshiping Satan out loud.
That's right.
They were saying hell Satan hell and stuff Satan. On it. And which I think is good bringing clarity because that's actually what's going on.
Reality,
And for them. And that was a Josiah moment. But there's another Josiah moment in the state of Florida when Governor Rick Scott comes to Escambia County around Pensacola area and the Northwest Florida area to sign a bill called Born Alive. That protects the life of the child that in a botched abortion, in other words, they're trying to kill the baby, but they can't kill the baby, and the baby's born alive, that they are obligated by law to be able to provide, like they would for any other citizen of America and any other patient, health protection. This is I really believe that was part of the key legislation that helped out Texas, because Texas is saying now the ones that are needing to be close enough to a hospital so you can get that child to it. So I believe, and I have that pen in my office, some of the pens, I have one of those pens, and a copy of the bill because Pat and I was there when the governor signed it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And this is what one of the writers of the bill said, and senators and a senator and a congressman was there, and just governmental crew. They said that if this bill would have been on the desk of any other governor that we've ever had in America and in Florida, that they would not have signed it. But this governor did.
Mm. Wow.
I remember the word was, that was saying this, that this is going to be, the states are going to have to contend with this law.
That's right.
And look at that. Bam. Wow. Texas comes over and, I don't know, Pennsylvania maybe?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And this Ohio. Is huge, because if you get a majority, then all of a sudden,
Arkansas
states become Josiah states. I mean, like Texas is a Josiah state, you know. And what's so exciting is to see Florida begin to be a Josiah state.
That's right.
And stand up for what's right. And we're going to begin to see this dominoes begin to fall. And if a majority of states stand up for what's right in this arena, and we continue to pray and understand this can't happen outside of God, that, and what's going to happen too with these new laws is it's helping people see abortion for the murder it is. If you don't call it murder, some people just won't see it as murder. But when you call it murder and you're serving a life sentence like Gosnell, you know, then people start real. And then, I mean, it's just amazing. And this is hopeful because this means if we stop this, and this is what Josiah did, he began to tore down the altars to Moloch, you know, and Asherah, the sacrificing of babies in the altar of Moloch. He tore that down. This is what's happening. The altars for Moloch are beginning to come down.
That's right.
And it's real, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I said, you know, the mysteries of God, trying to figure out the heart of God. Only, you know, God knows what he's doing. But all I can say is that he is responding to prayer. You know, he's responding to us crying out to him and say, "Dear God, forgive us for abortion. End abortion. Send revival." Listen, we are Josiah in America. We're the ones that issue the edicts. We can do exactly like King Josiah did, because this is a government by the people and for the people. The question is, what are you going to do with the authority that God entrusted to you? What did King George's mama say? Go be king.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
John, you remember that? Remember that kind of like that little video clip of that guy running during that slow-mo? How did that go?
No.
Like the marathon runner, the guy was like, chick-chick-a. And it's like showed him running or something. Come on, you're from the 70s. I know because that came out right before me, and that was a popular movie.
What did you confuse it, Pat?
What movie was that? It was like Chariots of Fire or something, there was a marathon runner.
80s, by the way.
Okay, it was 80s. Okay,
right.
But what I will tell you about marathon, okay,
what
is
do you
that
know?
BFN Radio is available on the marathon weekend. Steve, you know what that is? That is every weekend, the whole week's radio program are back to back to back. It's the VFN Radio Marathon.
Wow.
So throughout the weekend, you can enjoy all of the great segments, all the great insights, God's news behind the news from Monday through Friday, all on your weekend on a 24-hour loop. I encourage you stay plugged in and enjoy your weekend with the VFN Radio Marathon.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. One good reason why you want to get in the Word and kind of soak. I remember when I was a deputy and they had a standard evaluation form. I mean, it was standard for everyone. And you have to, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, a large body of employees and a variety of work and all that. But it was pretty simple. Each particular point, I think it was score, you get 1 to 8. Mm-hmm. 8's really good. And I think 1, you're looking for another job. Not sure. I know there's a couple that probably need 1s right now in some locals. Anyway, so the... But what was interesting was each particular unique evaluation, if you get a 1, it had an explanation of what that meant. And if you had a 2, it had an explanation of what that one meant. Mm-hmm. And you had a 3, it had an explanation of what that one meant. And
But it wasn't concurrent. It wasn't like, you know, you got to do everything that you had in one, and you got to do two to make a two. Right. And then if you want to do, you make a five, then you have to be able to do everything in one, two, three. They're all like unique statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what you got to do if you want an eight or whatever the number was. It could have been like soccer, like three, very low scoring game. I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, me, I'm looking and they go, wow. That's pretty. That's a description of how my future will look right there.
There it is.
I took that evaluation form, and I put it on the visor of my my cruiser, and I was on patrol, and I would just make sure I did those, you know, four or five things, which I did anyway. But hey, now I know, like, hey, that's, I'm qualifying for an eight, whatever that was, and lo and behold, I got a one. No message. No, I mean, it was just real simple to do if you know what's expected of you. If you know what's expected of you, if you call yourself a believer or a Christian, you know what God expects of you, just do it with a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to be a deputy. I wanted to be in law enforcement. I liked what I was doing, except for the times I was running for my life and somebody was shooting and stuff. But other than that, and a few muster room experiences, I enjoy what I was doing. And so I wanted to do well. I wanted to do my job well. And it's very important, by the way, if you are in law enforcement, no matter how you feel, because of your authority and because of what you carry, guns, ability to lock people up and ruin their destiny if you don't do your job well, it's important for you to do your job well. And it's not, and we have to, you know, that's just part of that particular job. And if you start going for a period of time and you feel like you can't do it well and you're like you're a two or three on the evaluation, it's just time to look elsewhere for another employment, because it's just we're putting too much trust.
No doubt.
You're entrusted with so much. And everybody, you know, they say a lot of people switch jobs. You know, they get tired of this job and they find another job. There's nothing wrong with that. And but once you start losing your desire and hope for mankind and wanting to do good towards your neighbor, and everybody is equal, deserves equal justice, and you know, you get a mindset like everybody's a dirt bag, you know, something like that. And you go through those moments because they only call you when bad things are happening. They don't call you, hey, just come over. We're having a family reunion. We got some chicken and dumplings and some fried chicken over here and some black-eyed peas. And we just want to come and just let you enjoy the celebration. They just call you at the end of the family reunion when Uncle Bob and Uncle Jim are at each other's throat because they had too much punch.
That's right.
And so you can have a tendency, if you don't have a life outside of that, that all of a sudden everybody's just, you know, causing problems. But they just call you when the problem's there.
Mm.
Sort of like fathers. No, anyway, so, and you can, but getting back to putting that evaluation form on my visor, I knew what was expected of me. You know, one thing I believe, I'm drawing, man, I'm pulling from the depths of historical events here. So I might get this wrong, and I'm sure it's changed by now. I hope it has. But it was like, you know, help your fellow deputy out, your fellow officer, you know, help them, assist them. You know, when they're on a call, you know, back them up and help them through things and just partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of just sitting in a coffee shop or running radar because you want a whole bunch of tickets, you know, to be able to bring in, you know, each one has their own gift. And that was not my gift. But
writing tickets?
No, it wasn't my gift. Well,
I don't like that gift.
I just want to say I'm sorry to everybody I had to write a ticket to.
Good.
And those ones serving 10 years, you know, it just was written in, it was, I'm just holding you what was written in the law. Anyway, okay. So I was able to do what was there. And that's what you take scripture. Like John used to do. Remember, he used to put it on a cue card and stick it in his dash. And
that's right.
I don't know how he could see it. His seat was so close to the steering wheel.
I could see it.
Could you see it? He had to read it like this. So the Lord, it was like, it was so close. I hit my chin on my knee when I rode with him once. No, seriously, just keep the word before you and be a doer of the word.
That's right.
You just look. He said, and God says, you know, lend to the poor. Stop your car. Stop texting anyway when you're driving. Don't even look at it. Just kind of look away from it, your phone, and look outside. And
stop
the skies are
me.
Blue. And understand that that guy on the side of the street or that lady or those kids, you can stop and give them something. And that's what God says. He says, he that lends to the poor lends to God. Mm-hmm. Or he said, go make disciples of the nation. If you know something in God, you should be teaching what you know to someone else.
That's right.
You shouldn't be bragging about, this is what I know. Well, who else knows that because you know that? You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, God comforted me. God comforted me and comforted us through these trials and tribulations so that in turn we can comfort you with the comfort God gave us. And it's like, so many people say, I have a testimony. God just really cushioned me through this. And the next thing is, the next part of the verse is, but who did you cushion? Who did you care for? Who did you comfort? Because now you know God would comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And, I pray God would comfort them too. And it's like, no, he actually would demonstrate his comfort through us. And that's one of the expectations.
Right.
So you can take the judgment evaluation and you can put it on your visor called the Word of God. And you can say, you know, I don't want to, you know, get a promotion or a raise here. But I want to do well before God. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So what does he want me to do? And you know, one of the things he says, whatever I've given you, I want you to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, focus once a day, once a week, you know, I'm going to invest that thing. I'm going to invest that talent. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're a reader. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you make these widgets for yourself, but you know, once a week you make widgets that you just give away. So God's blessed you with the ability to make that. And so you're making it for yourself, but pause for a moment and make some for someone else and just give it away. I mean, God's into that. He's into us sharing that aspect of it. And in that, he says, you know, I'll bless you when you do this. I'll bless you. So I want to encourage you, if you want to pass your evaluation at the throne of God, am I missing it? Is this correct? I mean, isn't there expectations of us?
Real expectations.
Yeah. Y'all remember Pittman when he's like,
"Ooh,
let me evaluate you, God, in my life." Howard Pittman, he says.
Wrong move.
Wrong move. And so he showed up with his own evaluation of God in his life at the throne room of God. I mean, he died on the operating table, showed up with his own personal evaluation for him, with a whole list of things that he thought should happen in his life. And by the way, he died on the operating table. I mean, you think that would humble you, right? But in his spirit, he just showed up before the throne room of God. And he didn't even make it into the throne. He's standing by this is his testimony.
Outside the gate, wasn't it?
No, it was actually outside a door jam. You know what I'm saying?
How you under the threshold.
And it's Howard Pittman. He writes about it in the book, Gospels, I believe. Placebo Gospel. Placebo Gospel, not Gospels. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
As we said, you know, Al Gore just invented the internet, according to him. And this is before we had multiple internets, when George W. said we have internets, you know, which is a minor. I mean, how many, think about that. How many times have we, you know, we make humorous clips of these tournaments.
Tournaments.
Wrestling. Yes. And I tried practice the other day.
Did you?
Wrestling. My chin's got to go out to say it right. And so
it's called enunciation. Oh, that wasn't funny?
That's a what? You know, tournament about this? You know the tournaments that you can spell enunciate? The, this is like the telephone. Hey, I'm going to talk to you, motherfucker. Like, can you move the phone somewhere around the vicinity of your mouth?
Your mouth?
Hey, I want to talk to you. John.
Hey, can you leave me alone? Okay. Right. All right, okay. Let me adjust it now. Wrestling? Wrestling? What else do you want to talk about? Statistic? Likely? Let me get the mic ready here. What do you want to talk about?
You're tearing up the set, bro. Okay. Hold on. Chill out.
All right. So,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. He has a list in his hand, and he's fixing to evaluate God. Man, how many people do you really know that really do? They really, God, this is what I want you to do. And it's like, I think that the sheriff's going to evaluate you. You're not going to evaluate, the deputy's not going to evaluate the sheriff. Right. You know, the chief is going to evaluate you. The police officer's not going to evaluate, you know what I'm saying?
Evaluating how good God did for them.
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
You scored about an 80 on this, God. I really preferred a better job than this, but this will do. Thank you very much.
And your word says, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I'm holding you to your word. And the next thing you're going to hear what Petman heard was, oh, yeah, I'm holding you to my word, too. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, when he has this list in his hand, he's going to present this list to God. You got to read about this in the book, Placebo Gospel. It will change your perspective. It will definitely deliver you from the American placebo gospel that's taught in a lot of places. And placebo is a pill that looks like a pill, but it's nothing in it.
Fake.
Hollow, empty. And he has this list in his hand, and all of a sudden, imagine every storm that you've ever heard at the very same time. And we've heard a lot lately.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that when we talk, and Pat's always like, oh, yeah.
Another revelation.
He used to have a really good memory. Now he just kind of stares. He does so much. Now, if you make in front of him that years down the road, and he's sitting there staring off into the horizon in his rocking chair, realize the man's done a lot.
That's right.
A lot. And just kind of like get him some warm milk or something. Anyway, so he'll go, oh, yeah. So here is Howard. Howard has this list in his hand. He's going to talk to God. And he's standing, imagine standing in the door jamb, the doorway, but to the side. The angel set him to the side where he couldn't see in the door to the throne of God. So he's not even in the presence of God. Then all of a sudden, lightning and thunder and roaring and just shaking and quaking, and it was God talking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he dropped his evaluation form.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Imagine that. Why wait till you get before the throne room of God to find out you're the one being evaluated, not God? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are criticizing or critiquing God because they fall into the deception of pride, when you're the one and we're the ones that are actually going to be evaluated before God. But he's given us the evaluation now. It's the word of God, and we can get into the word now, put it in the visors, the visual aspects of our life, and abide with him and just begin to do the word and find out, you know, we could do well on this exam. It's an open book test.
Hello.
82% of you. It's an open book test. It's open book. I'll never forget when I was in school back in 18 and 12. And I thought, oh, here comes a test. And they say it was an open book test. It's like this big sigh across the room, you know, not sigh. Let's just move on. But a big awe across the room, like, oh, open book test. You know, open book test. And this is an open book exam. But you got to look intently in the word and study what's expected of you. And then you got to do what it says. So you're blessed in all you do. And when you stand before the throne of God, he's going to say, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, which means you
did done something.
Well, as they say down south, you done did something. You
right.
done did something.
Right.
No, not well, whatever, you know, is well done. And what happened was all of a sudden every storm kind of met at the same time. It was just the voice of God, and you could just feel the judgment of God. And it was just so hard. He dropped his little, you know, evaluation form. I think he's going to give God a 2 or something.
Mm.
And because he just had more things he felt he needed to progress in his job as God. You know what I'm saying? He needed to allow him to be sheriff in Louisiana somewhere. He needed to stay longer as a pastorette in a pastorate. And in the context of that, he dropped that. And now he was just grabbing for life and thinking, it's over as I know it. Mm-hmm. And just this judgment began to just come out. Just the voice of God brought such deep conviction. It's like you could just feel the how God was upset. And then it was like it was over. I blew it. Everything I did, by the way, and he was a pastor for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing God a favor. We're not like, I just want to know. You know, I'm in here because I became a pastor. God says more in his word about shepherds, false shepherds, pastors, than he does about false prophets, by the way, just so you know, just so you know that. Mm. So we need to be, which means we developed our own evaluation form. That's what that means, by the way. It means that we just went our own way and did what was right in our own mind, and we didn't bother to look at what the judge was going to say, what our father was going to say when we come there, and, you know. And if your father gives you some expectations, believe it or not, I don't know, it might not be that way today in a lot of areas, but this is how fathers used to be. You better do it. You better do it. And when his car pulls up in the driveway, or, you know, like Pat, his limousine pulls up and his driver's open his door, you know, when you hear those feet coming into the footsteps coming into the house, I mean, you're like, boom, yeah. That's just his driver coming around. He's a big guy. Then you're click. That's his tap shoes. He's coming out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, you know we're just joking.
You got a lot of jokes.
But you know, do you remember that? I mean, do you remember? It's like, oh my goodness, I remember we could clean the house when our parents came home between the driveway and the front door.
Hey, that thing's spotless.
We could clean, and it was amazing. It was horrifically hard to do when we had this free time, but we cleaned. But we knew what we were supposed to do. And today, it's like, you know, a father would show up and nothing changes and everybody's lounging around and they had no idea that how important those expectations of their father was to them. And it's like this happening with God now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's an open book test. You can look and see what God expects from you. And you can look at the word that day and then you can do what it says, you know, love people, help people, encourage people, teach people, disciple believers, tell people about the glory of God, you know, and watch the goodness of God. And then you can be comforted. Well, let me finish the story about Howard Pittman and before we go to break. There's good news about it because he thought it was over. He thought it was over. He could feel the judgment of God and just the voice of God. Then all of a sudden, now that as a good father would, God began, after dealing with his issues and his sin, his pride, then all of a sudden the father's heart, the balance of the kindness and the sternness of God. He first faced the sternness, but just like any father, all of a sudden, even though God was angry at me for what I did with the pride of my life and how I wasted my life and how I thought I was going to tell God what to do, now he's loving on me. And he could just feel the father's love. As God was ministering to him, and it just blows your mind when you have balanced father leadership in your life. When you know, it's not over because you get rebuked. You know, it's actually a good thing because you know that somebody's telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. And God was speaking truth to him because you think about it, if he wouldn't have repented, then he would have went with the 70% that he saw in this vision. You can get his book, approximately 70% that were going to hell. More were going to hell than were going to heaven.
Yes, for sure.
And he would have been that way if he would not have repented at that point. And then he just feels like, my goodness, the same God that was rebuking me, that I thought it was over, now he's loving on me. I can feel this deep, intense, fathering love. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
And it was this encounter with the kindness and the sternness of God with the father's heart so changed his life that all of a sudden they said, now is not your time. The angel escorted him out of heaven. boom, he came right back into his body. His body came alive again on the operating table, and he hit the road, and he didn't stop until he told everybody he could. He did not stop talking about the kindness and the sternness of God, about the placebo gospel that's being preached to people that says there's no expectations, you're not going to be evaluated, there's not going to be a day of judgment, you're not going to have to answer for what you didn't do or what you did do, and that the kindness and the sternness of God, the Father's heart. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but like any father, there's something you got to do in relationship. You got to look. It's an open book test. Look at the expectations of God, and his plans are good for you, plans to bless you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. He loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. We're all going to be evaluated. It's not just your boss or your supervisor, and you're not going to be able to say, hey, I just want you. You're sitting with your boss. And you're a Christian, imagine this, and you're going in to get evaluated for how well you're doing your job. And maybe you're a secretary, maybe you're a manager, maybe you're an officer, maybe you're a politician. And they say, hey, you know, I'm going to evaluate you on your job. And before they start getting to the details, you just go, I'm just going to plead the blood. And they say, okay, cool, cool, okay, cool, got it. I love Jesus too, dude. But listen, it's not your spirit I'm worried about, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
It's your flesh, because your flesh is touching my stuff.
That's right.
That was so classic.
I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. Me too, brother. But let me tell you something. We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to talk about how you're doing the job.
That's right.
Well, I thought you was a believer. I am. Mm-hmm. I read the book. I'm training you up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show up like Howard Pittman with a list and just say, you know, I just plead the blood.
No, that's
and
it's like, right.
And Jesus is going to say, you're going to plead my blood? I got that part. Well, cool. Let's talk about what you did and you didn't do. And how foolish that sounds in the context of saying that to your boss. And although, by the way, I do know some bosses that have evaluated people have heard that. Yeah, I'm just trusting Jesus. It's like, well, I'm trusting to you that you're going to do what I ask you to do, too. And I'm praying to the same Jesus you're talking about that you're going to hear me and do the job, you know, so I don't have to give you a transition package into your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What's my destiny? Not here, you know? And so how foolish that sounds before a man or a woman who's evaluating you for the job that you were hired for, when God says he didn't just save you to save you, he saved you for a call, purpose, a destiny. There's expectations from God. I mean, a judgment seat of Christ? Come on. A judge is going to evaluate our lives. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we get in. But if that's the only thing that we profess, then we never were truly a believer. Because a believer who believes the chair will hold them will sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
A believer who believes in the evaluation form, this is how you live your life, they just do it because they believe that. So I want to encourage you, be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer, which would be merely deceived. But if you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Oh my goodness, Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. The $50 Eye Guide, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guide today so you can see.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.